there's a word from the Lord, and I just would that you would pray for me. I will tell you that I'm tired, but the Holy Spirit is not tired. Amen. I will tell you that I don't feel at my best this morning, but I'm not standing here on my own. Amen. So they told me down in Raleigh, North Carolina, that praying pews make preaching easy. Amen. I've never been here, never been to Hackensack, New Jersey in my entire life. And some of you are looking at me and wondering if she can preach. Yeah. I know us. So I don't care about all of that. Can she preach? And I'm looking back at you wondering if you can pray. Amen. That's the magic word right there. Can you pray? And then we know that everything will be all right to the glory of God. The word of God comes to us from the gospel according to St. Luke in the 18th chapter. And I want to read verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Let me reiterate just a little bit of that for you from the Message Bible. After this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing about what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Then Jesus said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. For the time that is mine, I want to preach from the sermonic theme, Break Protocol, or It's Too Soon to Quit Praying. Break Protocol, It's Too Soon to Quit Praying. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. God, you are yet my only strength and my redeemer. I come to you crying, Lord God, to stand up in me and make me a blessing. God, I didn't come to prove anything to anybody, but I hope you prove that you are yet the Almighty God and that you can use me this morning, Lord God, to be a blessing to your people who are wanting, your people who are hurt, your people who are down, some of your people, Lord God, who are feeling like they're the last and the least of them. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will get all of the glory out of my life. And when you use me, however you choose to use me, God, I promise not to take your glory or to steal your praise, but I'll be careful to say that Jesus did it. And it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. And all the people of God said amen, amen. And amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Beloved, the Bible does not give this Luke 18 woman a name or even tell her the specifics of her grievance, only that she went to the unjust judge repeatedly. And I believe she showed up in his courtroom every morning and said, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The Bible said repeatedly. You see, it's evident that somebody had wronged this woman and she was determined to make it right. Anybody ever been there? You ever been falsely accused and just determined to get your day in court, determined enough that you won't quit even until your answer, until you get your answer? And this woman has been driven to desperation. Anybody here know that desperate times call for desperate measures? Are there any desperate women in this sanctuary? You know, any abused women, any misused women, any overlooked women, any women who clearly understand how this desperate woman must have felt. Being ignored is a terrible thing, somebody. Being ignored is a terrible thing. Amen. And today I want to take note of this persistent widow who the Bible says worried this judge's socks off to get justice. The Bible says the judge declared, "I don't fear God and I really don't care anything about people, but this here sister's driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." And I want to know if there are any New Jersey women here celebrating Women's Day who know anything about praying hard. Not just about taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there, but taking your burdens to the Lord and staying right there till you get some results. Amen. Because I believe that this text shows us what praying hard looks like. Let me help you. Praying hard is like knocking on a door until your knuckles are raw. Praying hard is crying out until you've lost your voice. Praying hard is praying and crying until tears run down your face. It means you're on your knees until your knees are numb. Listen, somebody, praying hard is actually praying through. Yeah, this isn't news to you all. I heard you studied Mark Batterson as well. Listen, praying until you get what you came for. Anybody in here bold enough to pray until you get what you came for? And my sisters, I'm a witness that if we pray through, God will come through. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible said this unjust judge said, "She's wearing me out," which really, brothers, is a boxing term. So people of God, praying hard can be like going 12 rounds with God. You know, getting knocked down, but always getting back up again. Praying hard is more than mere words. It's blood and sweat and tears. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, won't you let this bitter cup pass from me?" Praying hard is two-dimensional. It's praying like it depends on God, and it's working like it depends on you. And don't get it twisted. Praying through is not always ASAP, as we say, as soon as possible, but it's ALAT, as long as it takes. Hunch somebody and say, "As long as it takes, baby, as long as it takes." Yeah, praying hard lets God know that this is no pity-pat prayer, but you're sure enough serious about what you're coming before the true judge for. And baby, when things get serious enough, hear me, you will break protocol. Yeah, I know we know all the do's and the don'ts. I watch the women over here. "No, don't pray over there. Come up here." "No, don't stand there. Stand here." That's protocol. That's protocol. But when it gets serious, somebody say, "Later for protocol." Amen. You will break protocol. You'll do like Queen Esther and go in with your sisters and pray hard, and then go and bust up in the king's court with a serious attitude and declare, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. I'm on king's business. Anybody in here on king's business this morning? That's what praying hard will do. Or you'll pray like Hannah. I'm going to preach about her at the 11 o'clock service. You'll pray like Hannah. This desperate woman prayed so hard in the temple that Eli the priest thought she was drunk with wine. Y'all know about that. Because all he heard was moaning and groaning and unintelligible sobbing, huh? But how many know that when you go into a desperate prayer, you don't have time to conjugate your verbs. You don't have time to do a spell check. You ain't got time to do a grammar check. No time to worry about what's proper and what's improper. You don't care what people think. And how many know that Hannah wasn't talking to the priest anyway? Amen. She wasn't trying to impress the congregation like so many of us do when we're called on to pray. But listen to me. All Hannah knew was that she had to get a prayer through to her God. So Hannah broke protocol and started praying hard. Tell three people, break protocol, break protocol. Break protocol. I don't know if y'all talking here on Sundays, but talk to me today. Amen. Yeah. Now protocol basically means order. Protocol gives you the order in the chain of command. Keeps things in line with prescribed procedures. You know, when one goes before the Queen of England and meets the Queen, you know, the protocol tells us that men bow and women curtsy. You don't go running up, busted up on the queen, hugging her on the neck. Oh, that ain't protocol. When President Obama, don't that sound good, President Obama? When President Obama enters a room, everybody rises. Protocol. When our president enters a military setting, soldiers of all ranks and all races stand at attention and salute their chief leader. And I salute all of the veterans in the room this morning. In the Army, they tell me, from a low-ranking private to a five-star general, they salute. In the Navy, from a seaman to a master chief petty officer, they salute. In the Air Force, from an airman to a chief master sergeant, all ranks salute their chief leader. It's called protocol. Hey, but I came to tell some desperate man or woman that there are times when you just have to defy protocol. You just have to do what you got to do to get what you need. Uh-huh. My sister, sometimes you just have to drop to your knees and pray for the impossible, and don't stop praying until you get results. Huh? People have told you to give up on your child, or give up on your family, or give up on your marriage, or give up on your health, or give up on your ministry, to walk away. But I came to tell you to keep on praying hard. Amen. To just break protocol, to go into prayer warfare, because you still believe that God is able. Does anybody up here in Hackensack, New Jersey, yet believe that our God is still able? I know he is. Listen, protocol has its place. I believe in protocol. Confusion is not the order of the day. But when your situation reaches the red zone, somebody, you got to stop doing things the same way, expecting different results. They tell me that's insanity. Listen to me a minute. Cute won't get you far. So when you come to church, my sisters, come sometimes prepared to leave with your makeup running. Prepare to come sometimes ready to leave with your hair out of place, with a run in your stocking, with your false eyelashes coming off. Everything just all twisted up. Come prepared to cry out unto the Lord like a desperate man or woman. Break protocol. Don't sit in the same seat every Sunday with your arms folded the same way and your shoulders back the same way, daring somebody to bless you, daring God to do something new. Come in here one Sunday and kick your shoes off like you're ready to dance. Come in here one Sunday and say, I'm just going for it. I don't care what y'all do, but I came to get mine today, because if I don't get it today, I may not make it next Sunday. Can I get a witness in this house? Tell somebody, break protocol. Break protocol. Well, Sister Barbara, I'm finished, but I have a question for the women of Mount Olive Baptist Church in Hackensack, New Jersey, where you got a wonderful sister as your mayor. I want to know, does the righteous judge know about your desperate situation? My sisters, what has you storming the gates of heaven? What makes you keep on knocking and keep on seeking and keep on asking? What is it? And I came to remind you that whatever it is, women of God, it's too soon to quit praying. It's too soon to stop looking for your miracle. It's always too soon to give up on a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think or imagine. It's too soon to give up on the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord, the one who woke you up this morning, the one who started you on your way, the one who breathed life into you. It's too soon to quit on God. And the Bible said that if this woman's persistence could move an unjust judge, if she could move an unjust judge's heart in her favor, how much more will Jesus, your righteous judge, regard the persistent, unrelenting prayers of the righteous? So my sisters, don't stop now. Keep your prayer life going until you get what you came for. Be like this desperate widow. Every time she came into the judge's courtroom, she wore his behind out until she got what she wanted. That's defying protocol to get what you need. Oh, and hear me now. I know we cool and sophisticated and dressed up and middle class New Jersey people. But when times get real tough, I mean for sure enough tough. Yeah. That's no time for us to be cute. No time to color inside the lines, Reverend Jackson. No time to follow all the rules. Sometimes you can't wait for the red light to turn green. You just got to jaywalk yourself into a blessing. You just run on out there and take your chances that God is going to give you what you came for this morning. You got to throw caution to the wind and just go for it and pray like your very life depends on it, because it does. My sister's prayer is the best way I know to get equipped for kingdom work. Yeah. You can put on all the armor of God you want, but if you have not seriously prayed, you'll be all dressed up for nothing. Just like on Sunday morning, I didn't come to make no friends. Whole lot of folk get up, do all the necessary stuff, get dressed up, put on their Sunday finest, and miss their blessing because they're too good looking, too sophisticated. The hat might go the wrong way, the wig might go the wrong way, the weave might go the wrong way, the makeup might run. But baby, that don't matter. You better get what you came for from God, or you may as well have stayed home. I came to tell somebody to break protocol. Oh.
pray like a crazy woman. You got to pray like Hannah. And don't worry about what they think about you in the church. They ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in.
They say down in Raleigh, North Carolina, ain't nobody studying you. Amen. So listen, when I talk about praying hard, when I was a child, I prayed like a child. You know, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, you all know it. I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy. God bless daddy. God bless sister. God bless the dog. God bless the cat. That's a child's prayer. My four-year-old granddaughter can pray that. But when I became a woman, I had to put away childish prayers. I had to put away childish things. As I got older, life got more serious. As I got more mature, my problems got more mature. Huh? The more relationships I had, the more struggles I had. And so I had to learn how to stop praying like a child and pray like a full-grown woman. Because my prayers needed to meet my circumstances. And so now I pray, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, Lord, I need thee. I pray now, Lord, come see about me. I pray, Lord, it's not my mama, it's not my daddy, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I pray, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here. Some come in need of one thing and some come in need of another. But the commonality is that we all need the Lord. You better learn how to pray a grown-up prayer. When the hellhounds get on your back, it ain't time for now I lay me down to sleep. It's time to get up and get in the face of God and say, God, I need you to move, and I need you to move right away. So go ahead and break protocol and pray hard. Good morning.